Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Bring a little sunshine indoors with the exciting new arrivals in store or online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. Joe with RT.ie. The headline in the Daily Star today, the Irish Daily Mail today, sorry, is the scammer who was so convincing even RTE believed her. Well, the headline is slightly wrong because Liveline didn't believe her. And the person we're talking about is a serial fraudster. She goes by the name of Samantha Cooks, C-O-O-K-E-S, Carrie Jade, Sadie Harris, that's one of the other, and on four separate occasions, calling herself Carrie Jade Williams, she tried unsuccessfully to get on Liveline, on each occasion looking for money with a sob story. Now, the problem is people like this damage genuine, decent people who are in difficulties. But this is one of the emails we got from this fraudster, Carrie Jade Williams, back in 2021. I am emailing as I put a post up my Instagram about the discriminatory policies introduced by name company, and someone left a comment on there. They said I should contact Joe Duffy, so here we are. I have a terminal disability. You're a liar, you don't. I'm 32 and, like most of the country, had to adopt my business. I'm a chemical engineer. You're a liar and you aren't. I ordered a product from this company which arrived very late and damaged, and then it went on to a tale of woe. I rely on assistive technology due to my disability. You don't. You're a liar and you don't have a disability. And I've been called all sorts of names by call operators. Hung up, told to hang on, told flat out it's not their problem and that you're disabled. You're not. And you're damaging the narratives of people who are in genuine difficulties. Second email from this woman, Carrie Jade Williams, to Liveline. We spoke to Carrie Jade Williams on her first attempt to get on, and it was quite clear there was lots of worries about what she was actually saying, which couldn't be proved. I am writing as I'm terminally ill. You're a liar and you're not. And I have decided to use my remaining time to advocate for this inclusion of assistive technology in Irish society. Currently, for government forms, if you can't hold a pen, you can't. You see, she's making these genuine claims which will damage people who have genuine issues, who have difficulty holding pens and who have difficulty operating touch screens and who have difficulty operating machines, be it the return vending machines or any other machine you have to use in a checkout or whatever. I am hosting the first ever fully accessible event in Ireland. You're a liar and you didn't. And I would love to have a discussion about accessibility. Go somewhere else, Carrie Jade. You ain't getting on Liveline. The event will include AI robots, assistive technology, electronic braille and the spoken word. Blah, blah, blah. I'd love to come on your programme. If you have any interest in the subject, I'd love to chat, especially as Neurodiversity Week is coming up. Signed, Carrie Jade Williams, also known as Samantha Cooks, also known as Sadie Harris, and believed to still be in Ireland. I have designed this robot, this another email to Liveline. I've designed this robot that turns spoken word into braille. Now, that's an incredible feat if it can be done. It is 3D printed and costs 16 euro rather than the 1,002 euro to buy. If I can get anyone empowered to take any interest in this technology, and I wondered if Joe could help. I have terminal Huntington's disease. You're a liar and you don't. And I just want to make the world a bit more accessible. You're a liar and you don't. Signed, Carrie Jade Williams. Now, that is just one episode, and the documentary made by Ronan Kelly, it's a superb piece. It's from the Doc on One. It's called The Real Carrie Jade. And one person that she did actually contact, because she was very, very able. I'm sure she still is very, very able to track down people who were in vulnerable positions. And remember, the reason she's tracking down people, including Liveline, was to try and get money. But she's damaging genuine causes. Lynn MacDonald. Lynn, good afternoon. Lynn has been on Liveline before, and she's spoke so lovingly and beautifully on a number of occasions about her late daughter, Daisy. How did this woman, what name did she use when she contacted you, Lynn?
So Samantha Cook's used the name Lucy Fitzwilliam with us.
Lucy Fitzwilliam?
Lucy Fitzwilliam.
Okay.
So Lucy was introduced to me by my old next door neighbour, Hillary, who I would trust complicitly.
Yeah.
And Hillary also is a mum to a child with additional needs.
Okay.
So Hillary and her best friend, who doesn't want her details to be revealed, so we won't refer to her name or that. And the two girls actually brought this beautiful woman, Lucy, to my home.
Okay.
And Lucy was introduced to me as a minister's wife who ran a women's refuge. And she was a qualified therapist, and she had a background in special needs assisting.
Okay.
So obviously, you meet somebody like this, and you go, wow, an absolute angel. And she has a warm, smiley, bright face. She has a beautiful demeanor. She is, she's capable of listening and absorbing what you say.
Okay.
And she's able to relay very well everything you've said back. And she just sucks you in immediately. And that's what she did to me. And that's what she did to my friends.
And what was she offering, Lynn?
So initially, the girls had, before I was introduced to her, the girls had been telling her about our situation. And at that stage, Daisy was 2.5, and we still had 0 services. And Daisy was, at that point, quite medically complex. She was tube-fed. She had a gastric drain. She needed suctioning. You name it. You know, we were already there. And we had no speech and language. We had no OT, no physio. Okay. We never did. We never got any of it. But at the start, when things were starting to progress quite quickly, it was a panic for me because Cheever's Town had discharged Daisy, so we weren't linked anywhere. So to have a woman with a background in special needs and therapy, because Ellie at that stage was an 8-year-old sibling who had been expecting this little baby brother or sister to arrive that she would grow up with and have great fun. And sadly, for siblings, that's not what happens. It's quite difficult.
Yeah.
So my invitation from lovely Lucy was she had offered to babysit Daisy and let me go off for an hour for a cup of coffee or... Straight away, that was a no for me
because
I wasn't able to leave Daisy. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that I didn't trust her, Joe. It was that I wasn't in a position, even when I had Jack and Jill coming in, and they were amazing. The first two nurses we had, Maureen and Raz, would come in and they would nearly laugh at me because they knew I was walking up onto the top of the road and looking down into the house for the hour that they were there. Mm-hmm. I just didn't have the heart to leave her. But they were trained pediatric nurses. Lucy was telling me she was a special needs assistant who had extensive experience with medically complex kids, but still that wasn't okay for me.
Of course. And was she trying to get money? Why was she doing this?
So initially, Joe, and this is the important thing, before we went down the money route with her, she was wangling her way into my home.
Yeah.
And she was becoming a friend and a confidant. And she was focusing in on Ellie. So she had offered play therapy and art therapy with Ellie, which she did twice a week for a few weeks. And she gained Ellie's trust. So obviously, after these sessions, Ellie would tell me, oh, she's such a great person, Mom, and I feel great. And there were discussions about taking Ellie to London to see Matilda, which she was huge into at the time. She was building this little girl up who was having a tough time, who wasn't getting the attention from her mum that she needed and deserved, who was missing out on parties and everything else. So forward on, and we're told that Lucy and her partner, who ran a Christian group in Glenageary. And again, you just believe this.
These are all made up things.
Because we've no reason to doubt it, Joe. That they were organising trips for the women from the refuge and some other people that they had linked in with throughout the years. This would be their third trip to Lapland.
Okay.
And they block booked everything, which meant that the cost was significantly reduced.
Okay, now she has such a track record now. And it's a warning to people. She goes, in your case, you said she went by the name of Lucy Fitzwilliam. I've heard of Lucy Williamson somewhere. I've heard of Carrie Jade Williams, Sadie Harris. But among other things, she's been convicted of defrauding a couple in Kildare. There's a couple of, counting one couple, out of €1,400 by falsely acting as their surrogate. That was in Ireland. She was also convicted of taking just under €1,000 for a man in Cork for a fake psychological report on his child. Four
the
theft charges.
The surrogacy was in the UK, Joe, just to be clear about that, not Ireland.
Four theft charges.
This woman likes to listen in and take details and come back with legal representation, just to be very,
Okay. And an earlier point, when she said that she was the wife of a minister, did she mean a minister of the state or a minister of the church?
Of the church.
Of the church,
A Christian group, which is another thing, you know, like I'm not religious in any way. And I remember when the girls were telling me that they were introduced and I said, I'll go up in flames if a minister's wife walks into my house. You know, it wasn't something that I was quite familiar with. You know, I stepped away from religion long before. But at the same time, I knew she was a good person. And these friends of mine had nothing but beautiful things to say. And I thought, you know what, I could do with a good person like that in my life. And I wasn't in a position to refuse help. And that's where I was. Wasn't in a position.
Say with us, Lynn, please. And Joe at RT.ie, 51551 is our text number. Lucy Williamson, Sarah, Carrie Jade Williams, Lucy Fitzwilliam. In your case, Hillary, what name did this woman use when you came across her?
Hey, Joe, how are you today? She was Lucy Fitzwilliams. I was the one that introduced her to Lynn because the day that I met her, my friend was a year trying to get me to talk to her. And she said, you know, you really need her to help you with your son. My son has autism, amongst he's multi-diagnostic, he is. So he's on the spectrum. So he was having a really, really hard time. We weren't getting the supports off the HSE. He wasn't even getting diagnosed. The assessment needs had said that he needed urgent speech and language, occupational therapy and psychology. And this one weekend, Reese had a really, really hard time. And I just picked up the phone and I rang my friend and said, give me that woman's number, please. I need her to help me. And she goes, oh. So when I rang her, she said, oh, Hillary, I've been waiting for your call, finally. And I was like, oh, my God, Lucy, this is amazing that you've been waiting this long for me to ring you. And she goes, yeah, I've been waiting so long.
Okay.
So I used to drive down. I work every second weekend. So I had only got my Saturdays off, the other weekend off. And I used to drive to Glenageary down the Avondale Road and pick her up in Barnhill Road. And the first day I met her, she jumped out of a Volvo Jeep and she goes, oh, sorry, I'm late, Hillary. I just need to get my box of tricks. I said, okay, Lucy, that's no problem. And she said, oh, I've just changed a little baby's trachea. The home help wouldn't change it. And because of the bank holiday weekend, I changed it. So there's nobody that would change it. And the mother would have had to bring the child into hospital. I was like, oh, my God, she is such a superhero. So she jumped into my car and we talked the whole way across the M50 over as far as my place, which is a 25, half an hour drive depending on traffic. So we're talking away we are and she puts her box of tricks down in my house. And then she won't let my son near it. She doesn't know any, we use a thing called love. She doesn't use any keywords, anything. She just had this control over him that she just kept saying, don't touch the box, don't touch the box. And I was like, oh my God. So she was more interested in the food when she was in my house, what's for lunch, than she was him. And I thought, this is a bit bizarre, but maybe she's just building up a little rapport. So that's how it all started with me. And she'd go out in the garden, she would, and she'd run up and down our road in our estate, chasing my son because he's got flight risk attached. And she ran after him, and the more she ran after him, the faster he went. Mm. So I'm looking at this, stepping back on, is this a joke? You know, I was kind of going, what is going on? Yeah. So I'd ring my friend and I'd say to her, who is this woman? Like, what is going on? Wow. Like, she's running after him. Like, that's not what an occupational therapist is. But I didn't know enough to know what an occupational therapist really does, because the HSE had let my family down so much.
Okay.
So she just kept saying, just stay calm. It'll be okay. She's just getting to know him and see what ticks. So we go back into the house, we would. When we go back into the house, he'd be at the box and she'd have this control over him. No. And then I just said, can you not just let him see what's in the box? So she was trying to do this art with him. And my son has no motor skills. So basically, to people who don't know what your motor skills is your pincher grip. He can't hold a pencil very comfortably. There's a pain in his hand physically. So she took out colours and pencils and I went, he can't do that. He's got no motor skills. Oh, silly me. Oh, sorry about that. She goes, does he like glitter and glue? And I said, yeah. I said, so she hands him like this tub. There was about a half a kilo glitter and he puts it over his head, straight over his head. And she proceeded to clean it up. I was aware that this girl, her mother was after being killed in a car accident and she owned a 3M. Now, saying that to any Irish person, right, we don't know status. We don't know big companies or anything like that. 3M meant nothing to me. And she was trying to clean up this off the floor, the glitter, and she was trying to recycle it. And then the following 2 weeks later, I pick her up and we do the same thing again and again and again. That went on for months. And as I got to know her, she told me about the women's refuge and she told me about going to Lapland, that it was subsidised by the Eva Angelic Church down in Dunleary. Which is lies.
Hillary, money. How much was she looking for per hour?
It was €100 per therapy.
Wow.
And she knew I didn't have that money.
Okay.
She knew, like, we were in the system. We were waiting for my son to be diagnosed.
But did you give her money?
We didn't have that money. I did. Yeah. I did. And my
and how much was she looking for?
Jennifer Moy.
And how much was she looking for Lapland? And was she?
Lapland was €380 per person.
And she was asking you to get as many people as possible?
Get as many people as possible.
Okay.
And I did. We had many people, and every time I rang her up and I said to her, Lucy, I've got this. Oh yeah, do you know what, a free place is just after becoming available on the plane. And
That's
how I introduced her to Lynn, was because of her jumping out of that car, that initial I knew Daisy had a trachea, and when I heard that, I just thought, you know what, if I bring her down to Lynn, she might be able to help Lynn.
Okay.
And that's it. Was all word of mouth in Ireland.
I know, we trust each other.
Yeah. If we're looking for a painter, we ask
that's
each other, who can you recommend? Who can you do this? I would not have allowed her into my house if she had just come to me.
And remember,
but she was
scamming other people. I presume she didn't head to Lapland with the money. She headed off with the money.
No. And I used to meet up with her 2-3 times a week to pass over things for the women's refuge and the food, or the people in the community. Like, they know me, I do a lot of things in the community. So they would give me things. I'd say to them, oh, Lucy has a set of twins in, I need a twin buggy, I need food, I need sanitary wear for children, for that could be nappies, for these women have left their husbands in the middle of the night. So Lucy was telling me, which wasn't true.
All her narratives are damaging genuine causes.
Yeah,
apart from robbing people, this is what's deeply upsetting about Carrie Jade, about Sadie Harris, whatever name she's using, in your case, Lucy Fitzwilliam. Now, Hilary, take us to Bank Holiday Monday in August. What happened in Neeson's in Dunleary?
Right, so I get a phone call, bank holiday weekend, a strange one that I was even off that, I wasn't off that weekend, but I got a phone call, Lucy was panicking, Hillary, you have to help me, nobody's answering me, you're the only one that's after answering me, I'm after collapsing in the Eastons in Dunleary, and I got picked up by the ambulance crew, and I'm now in Vincent's Hospital, I don't like hospitals, get me out of here.
Okay.
I was like, okay, Lucy, I'm on the way now. So I got into my car, drove all the way down to Vincent's Hospital, and I went to the hatch and I said to the girl, hiya, I'm looking for Lucy Fitzwilliams. The girl starts scrolling down through all her names and A&A, and she goes, no. And I went, Lucy Williamson? No.
Right.
Lucy Fitzwilliams. And she goes, no. And she said, tell me what the circumstances are. And I said, she collapsed in the middle of Easton's and she was brought in by an ambulance. She goes, oh, Samantha. And I went, what? Oh, what? And she goes, cubicle 3. So I was like, okay, I'm just so happy to get back in Vincent's to A&E, have a focus to go to. I thought the girl was wrong, what she was after saying in the hatch. I go back, I pull back the curtain in cubicle 3. I go to expect Joe Duffy sitting there, and instead there's Lucy. And I went, Lucy? And she goes, Hillary. I said, Lucy, the girl on the desk is after calling you, Samantha. And she goes, get me out of here, quickly. I need to go. She's like, hey, hospitals. I was like, what? No. You need to calm down. So I said to her, I said, I'm going to ask the doctor. She goes, I'm getting out of here. I have to go. So I said, you sit down there. I'm going to ask the doctor exactly what's going on. So I went to the doctor. I said, she wants to sign herself out now. And he said, no, you can't. Your friend is very unwell. I said, why, what's wrong with her? He said, your friend has a heart condition. Her heart is beating so irregular. So I went back to Lucy and I said, Lucy, I said, you can't go. The doctor said, you're not allowed to go. And she said, what's wrong with me? I said, you have a heart condition. Your heart's beating really, really fast and irregular. And she goes, we're going. Well, when we walked out of that hospital, I swear to God, Joe, she was a different person.
Okay. By the way, if you want to see what she looks like, one, there's a photograph in the mail today in Jenny Freen's article, and two, there's a photograph on Twitter. I've just tweeted at Joe Liveline, and if you want to, it's just as you said in your contact, Hillary, this is not a witch hunt. This is a public service to warn other people. It's not just parents of vulnerable special needs children that she has conned. She has conned hotels, charity groups, landlords, anyone and everyone. That's Dublin. Let's go to Ken Mayer and to Chloe. Chloe, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good. What name did she use when she was living beside you?
We had the classic Carrie Jade Williams.
Okay.
It was in, I think, 2022. So
relatively recent.
Recent enough, yeah.
And your experience of her?
Yeah, so she ended up being my next door neighbour. She moved in the March of 2022. So it was kind of still a bit of COVID times. Everything was still a bit strange. Or maybe it was 21. Sorry, not sure.
Okay.
time went funny.
Yeah,
those
sure
days.
It is.
but yeah, she moved in next door and I was living there with my two children, so I was quite happy that she was a single woman who seemed really, really nice. Her kind of spiel then was that she was a chemical engineer. She was running a company that she ran from home. She kind of gradually got to know me and I got to know her. And I suppose, the thing that she latched on to me that I was having trouble with my housing situation.
Okay.
At the time, I was in a rented accommodation, but I was kind of tied into a lease with the council. It was all a bit complicated. It wasn't very good. So I was telling her my worries about this, and lo and behold, she had some answers for me and said that she had a seat on the Women's Council of Ireland and that she could get me some help with my housing situation.
Another lie, yeah?
Oh, completely.
Okay, before you tell us, Chloe, about the fake emails she started sending, let's hear, because this piece And I've listened to two episodes. It's a 6-part podcast by Ronan Kelly. Comes out every Friday. But this is the voice of Samantha Cooks. And it was actually recorded, as far as I know, in Kenmare when she was living as your next door neighbour.
Imagine if I drew a line on your feet and you could only feel one side or the other. You just feel a bit sort of wonky.
No, these are the two coffee shops. But I always feel like if you're going to one, you have to go into the other. So I like this one. So when I'm with Fionn, I make him go and buy from the one next door. And then we take them home.
Fionn, according to Kerry Jade, is her fiancé.
Oh, Fionn. What do we say about Fionn? He's a lovely man.
What you could say about Fionn is that he's not real.
Fionn's currently stuck in the UK. He got one positive and one negative test to COVID. So that's why he's not here.
He's not stuck in the UK. He doesn't exist. Never did. We didn't know that when we were recording with her and Cara Savine.
Fionn and I were very good friends for a long time.
Why would we doubt what a terminally ill woman was saying to us?
We'll try and get more of her voice in the next clip, because people need to hear her voice, because we think she's still in Ireland now and she's operating under so many different aliases and she's so many different descriptions, and she's inveigling her way in. When you said, "I have a housing issue," she immediately lighted on that and said, "Well, I'm on the National Women's Council of Ireland, and I can have," which she wasn't, of course. Now, the fake emails you got, from who?
Yeah, so I've just remembered the name. It was Ellen Harris.
Okay, another made-up name, yeah.
Yeah, it is a made-up name. I think there is a female politician with the same name, which
and
kind
she went,
of confused
say,
me when I Googled it. But also, just to say, like, when she was offering her help and being so open about everything, like, of course, it seemed like too good to be true. And so, of course, I Googled her. And when you put her name, Kerry Jade Williams, into Google at the time, like, a lot of legitimate stuff was coming up. She had done that interview with News Talk. She had done an interview with Kerry Radio. And there was newspaper articles and different clips about her Huntington's disease. So if you see someone all over the internet speaking about an illness,
of course,
like the last thing I thought was that every single thing was a lie. I found it strange, but I did for a while trust her, all right. And yeah, I got a couple of emails from this woman, Ellen, sort of making an appointment to meet me to go through my housing situation, and then another email to change the appointment. You know, she's just like, her classic move is to draw you in and then just drag it out and drag it out and drag it out
and
to the point where you don't feel like you can ask again. It just feels all a bit strange. And
then there's money, money, money. Stay with us, Chloe, Hillary, Lynn, Joe at RT.ie. 51551 is the text number. 0818 715 815, the name we're looking for, the person we're looking for, to find out where she is now. Maybe she'll ring in and tell us what she's doing, because she has been convicted and has served her time, so to speak, in whatever shape. Samantha Cook, Lucy Williamson, Lucy Fitzwilliam, Sadie Harris, Ellen Harris, whoever you are, please, the number you contacted or the email when you contacted Liveline 4 times unsuccessfully, you didn't manage to get on. But you will get on this time, Kerry Jade Williams. And the number is 0818 715 815. And the email is joe@rte.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
We are talking about serial fraudster Kerry Jade Williams, Sadie Harris, Samantha Cooks, Lucy Fitzwilliam, Lucy Williamson, Ellen Harris. These are the names that she's been using around the country. Now, she has form in her home country as well, by the way, going back 10 years, I see, from various court reports. But she's last seen and heard of around 2022 in Kenmare. Now, as you heard from our callers already, she's extraordinarily adept at being a con artist. And I've often said it, when I was a probation officer going way back, and I did work among other places in Mountjoy Prison. By a long stretch, pardon the pun, the most intelligent people in prison were con artists, were fraudsters who would ramble in to a bank, dressed up as a businessman, suitcase, and inveigle their way out of the bank within 5-10 minutes with $5,000 in, as it was then, traveller's checks or cash. They are extraordinarily smart, as this woman is, wherever you are, Sarah or Lucy, whatever you're calling yourself. Hillary, did she ever stay in your house?
So the night that I picked her up from the hospital, from Vincent's hospital, she came and she asked me, could I stay in your house? She said, Ross is not available. He's over in the UK on business and I can't get in touch with him. So she said, Hillary, I don't want to be on my own in a hotel or anything like that. And I don't want to go home just in case anything happens. She said, can I stay in your house? I said, yeah. Like, all I can offer you now is like a sofa bed. And she goes, that's fine. You know, I come from humble background. So that's absolutely fine. So I brought her home to my house, pulled out the sofa bed, and you know when you have somebody that's just fresh out of hospital, you're kind of you don't sleep very well, you know, you have to keep checking on them. So I said to her, if you want to go for a shower, you know, go for a shower. And this was supposed to be a multi-millionaireess, and the first thing I kind of noticed was her clothes. I was folding her clothes and just putting them on the back of the chair, and every single one of them was from Pennies. It was supposed to be her day off in the women's refuge, and I thought when she was with me that she was dressing down so that she didn't have any, like, designer label clothes, you know, like, that she needed to play the part. So when I was folding her clothes that night, I noticed every single piece of clothing that she had was from Pennies. And I just thought, right, a millionaire shops in Pennies. Okay, that's a bit weird. So she went and she had her shower. I gave her a brand new pair of pajamas and off she went to bed. I went to bed and I got up in the early hours of the morning just to check to see she was still alive, basically.
Okay.
So I got up and I peeked my eyes around the corner of the door and I looked into the room and there she was standing at the window, looking out the window with the curtains like halfway through the window. And I said, Lucy, what are you doing? And she said, Hillary, it's such a beautiful night. I'm just looking at the stars. I said, Lucy, get back into bed, would you? Yeah. I'd done this 3 times, Joe. I was in work the next morning, 7:30 in the morning. I work in a hospital. I was in work the next morning. I was exhausted by the time she left my house. I got up 3 times to check on her and all 3 times she had her head out the window looking at these stars in the sky. What I learned later on in the whole investigation was the police had tracked my car to my house and she knew that the police were after her and that they might potentially come around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And she was using my house as a safe house.
Wow.
Joe, could I interject there as well?
Yeah, Lynn, yeah.
One thing that's really important for the listeners to know, because the stories as they stand with what we've just told you, you know, a woman coming in and spending time with kids, has she done damage? But this woman had children in the UK and in Ireland removed from her care by social services. She also, sadly, for the lovely little baby Martha, she had a 4-month-old who passed away. And the cause of death was inconclusive. It wasn't cut
death. By the way,
I think that's really important for people to know.
So it is worrying. Other name she's gone under, Claudia Bronwyn, and that's when she defrauded a couple in the UK, said she would carry their baby as a surrogate and took nearly, 1,800 euro, nearly 2,000 euro off them. She's also, the news, Lucy comes up a lot, Lucy Hart, we've already mentioned Lucy Fitzwilliam, Rebecca Fitzgerald, and of course, Carrie Jade Williams. Now, apparently it was accidental death, and that was the verdict in that that case, so just to clarify that. But Hillary, she then went and spent some time in a friend of yours home. How did you get on there?
So the friend who initially introduced me to her, she said I had rang her that night and I said, listen, what am I going to do with Lucy? She's in my house. I'm working that weekend. And my friend said to me, okay, listen, I'll meet you at your job and
you know, you can give her to me. I'll meet you at 7 in the morning and you can give her over to me and she can come down, she can spend a few days down with me. So that was the game plan. So I drove to work the next day, exhausted that I had this person who spent the night looking out the bloody window. And I drove into work, pulled into the car park, and my friend was in the car park. And I said, Lucy, I said, you go on and jump into her car now. And I just want to have a quick word with my friend. And as I passed her by, I said, I don't know what's going on, but between the hospital, not knowing who she was under a different name, she has Penny's clothes. I said, and she spent the night looking out the window. I said, there's something going on. But I said it under my breath as we both passed each other.
Okay.
And my friend says, don't worry about it. Leave it to me. All and right. I let the two of them drive off out of my car park. And I just watched them. I didn't know who was after getting into that car with my friend. I didn't know what was going to happen. But I had a sickening feeling in my stomach what I was after doing. Each person has this fear and this gut-wrenching kind of what just happened. What did I do to deserve that? Why me? Why did she do that to me? You don't, like, it takes years to get over her. Years to get over her. Like, what she does to you and why she involved herself with my family, with my son, and thought that this would be a great idea to waste my time while she was pretending to be an occupational therapist and laughing about it all along. Not necessarily is her scams financial. Sometimes she just gets a thrill out of it, knowing that she... It's not just for the financial gain. People need to realise this. When she's scamming, the minute she opens her mouth and she tells you a lie, one of the detectives said to me, if you tell me your name is Hillary, I don't think, Jesus, she looks like a Maria. Maybe her name is Maria. We take people, especially in Ireland, because we're very trusting people, and we take people at face value. You tell me your name is Joe, I go, okay, Joe. Yeah, you tell me you're on the radio, I go, okay, you're on the radio. I am no person to say, no, you're not. Would you stop?
Okay.
But as I say, I'm not going to immediately assume that you're lying.
I've put a photograph up on her on X or Twitter, it's now called, at Joe Liveline. She's now 36 years of age. She was born in 1998 in Telford in the UK. And Lynn, when as you say, you had this awful feeling as she headed off with your friend, how did she get on with your friend in her house?
Hillary. That was for Hillary.
Oh, Hillary, sorry. My fault.
I tried to ring my friend. I did regular, and my friend couldn't pick up or she couldn't talk.
Okay.
Or she kept saying to me, listen, not now, something's after happening. And then I got the call to say, I'm in the police station. She's not who she is. I don't know who she is.
Oh, God.
But there's something going on and something serious. And she said, she's in my house now with my husband and I don't know who's in my house. And we then had to proceed, myself and Lynn, to Tallaght station to try to explain to them that we are not nutcases, what just happened to us.
Okay.
Like, we didn't think anybody would believe our story. But my friend was in another police station trying her best for the police, for the guards, to actually take her story serious. She was in saying, please, please help me. I don't know who she is. I don't know what she is, but she's in my house now with my husband. And every time she went back to her house, her neighbour, she has a neighbour that used to tell her what Lucy was up to while she was away. And every time, so down the country, a lot of the time people rely on lifts. And every single time my friend used to leave for work, or so she thought she was leaving for work, a taxi pulled up 10, 15 minutes afterwards and it would take Lucy off. And before my friend got back from work, 15 minutes before she got back from work, a taxi would pull up and she'd be there. And every day she said, Lucy, what did you do today? And she says, oh, I just walked around the garden. Oh, I went for a little walk because I didn't feel too up to it. And my friend's neighbour used to say, I seen her getting into a taxi.
Yeah.
I know she's after ringing so-and-so taxis and is after going down to Arklow. Says everybody knows everybody's business down the country. And we knew that she was lying.
Okay.
What we've learned, Joe, from communicating, we actually have a large WhatsApp group that we formed with victims of Kerry Jade Williams, and every one of us have the same goal, to let people know so that they don't experience what we've experienced.
Okay.
But every one of us have worked out that as soon as the water starts to get hot and she's about to be caught out, she is already planning on her next place.
Yeah.
So that's probably why she was leaving our friend's house and going out and coming back in the taxi. She was planning. She was having interviews.
Exactly.
She was was getting herself ready so she could just up and leave.
Her next victim, so to speak.
Another shout out to the girls over in the UK. Sorry, Lynn.
Okay.
Yeah, big shout out, because if it wasn't for the TikTok girls, Chrissy and Maz, them girls are absolute geniuses. I'm not technology savvy, and it was only for them they brought it all to light.
Okay, well, let's say that photograph is there. If people can spread the photograph around, I'd say it's in the Mail, the Irish Daily Mail today, and it's been in a number of other newspapers as well. I know Mark Tye in the Sunday Times then, Sunday Indo, did great work on this as well. Chloe, in Kenmare, did she, because it's in the recording as well, I was listening to it with Ronan, she goes into the local shop for her weekly copy of the New Yorker, no less, which costs, well, the last time I bought it was over a tenner. But anyway, every week. Did many people in Kenmare have dealings with her, insofar as you know, Chloe?
Yeah, definitely. And that's another reason why I kind of felt at ease with her. Obviously, first of all, when someone tells you they've got a serious illness, you automatically care about them and feel for them, you know. So I was empathetic towards her, but she had a lot of friends, some really nice women that live in Kenmare would call up to her quite regularly, which also kind of increased my trust in her. She's really, really good at making connections with people. And like some of these women, like, had what they thought was a genuine friendship, like calling up to see her really regularly. She was involved with the Protestant church here. She did a kind of a stall at the church day or whatever. She was very easy with being part of her new community for while it lasted. Yeah.
Okay, as I say, the photograph of her is there. Say, just briefly, Lynn, Hillary and Chloe, let's listen to the voice of. Is this the voice of Lucy, Rebecca, Samantha, Claudia, Carrie, Ellen, Jade or Sadie?
Imagine if I drew a line on your feet and you could only feel one side or the other. You just feel a bit sort of wonky.
No, these are the two coffee shops. But I always feel like if you're going to one, you have to go into the other. So I like this one. So when I'm with Fionn, I make him go and buy from the one next door. And then we take them home.
Okay, it's Fionn now, she mentioned. And what happened, poor Ross? Wasn't he mentioned earlier?
Just before the break.
She
involved herself with the Elizabeth Holmes case as well, where she was actually writing over 150 emails to the judge over there looking for a lenient sentence to be given, so much so that the Wall Street Journal interviewed me and she told me this. And the judge was actually taken into account that... if I put Elizabeth Holmes in prison, like, she might help the people of the Huntington's disease find their cure.
This is Elizabeth Holmes, the fraudster, Tyrannus, the blood test. If you prick your finger, you'll find out every illness you have or might have. And she's currently in prison. And there was a Netflix series. And there will be a Netflix series, I suspect.
And during
this woman, Samantha Cook or Carrie Jade or whatever. Okay, let's hear her voice one more time briefly so people can help us. Go ahead.
Imagine if I drew a line on your feet and you could only feel one side or the other. You just feel a bit sort of wonky.
No, these are the two coffee shops. But I always feel like if you're going to one, you have to go into the other. So I like this one. So when I'm with Fionn, I make him go and buy from the one next door. And then we take them home.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Nicola, you've just seen the photograph of Lucy, and you reckon she was involved in your life and your daughter's life, what, 10 years ago?
That's right, Joe.
What was she called then, Nicola?
She was called Lucy. My daughter was, she was 16 at the time, and she answered a job advertisement in one of the three papers.
Okay.
And she said she was running a therapy clinic and she needed somebody to hand out leaflets for her and stuff.
So Lucy put the ad in the paper?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And when Aisling applied for it then, she got the job, obviously.
Yeah,
and,
course, yeah.
But there was a bit, she wouldn't pay her because she didn't have a bank account. And then she tried to get myself or my husband's bank account to put money into. Yeah. And we wouldn't give her the details. So after about 6 months, I think it was, 6 months to a year, she finally let Aisling go. She said she wouldn't employ her anymore. And just after she let her go, then we got a call from the guards to say that this woman was wanted for fraud and to ask us if we had given any bank details or anything. But we were lucky enough that we didn't, because we would have just been emptied out completely if we had.
And what was Aisling doing with her or for her?
She was starting to, she started by handing out leaflets around the place about a therapy clinic that she was running. And then Lucy was saying that she was getting married, and Aisling was helping her then going around tasting free samples of different things from the shops, you know, like cakes and stuff like that for the wedding. And she just had Aisling running around a lot of doing shopping for her and stuff as well.
Did she pay Aisling?
She paid her in cash sometimes. She used to leave the cash behind a plant pot. She had a house in Glenageary.
Yeah.
She was up there. Obviously, she was renting. I don't know if it was a room or the house she was renting.
Yeah.
But she never let us into the house because we actually called up to collect Aisling one day. And she never let us in the house or anything. But she had told Aisling that anytime she wasn't there, there was money behind a plant pot in the garden for her. And she was to go. She used to have to go down and do a bit of shopping in the supermarket and stuff for her as well.
Wow, and when did you become suspicious of her?
When she asked for her bank details and Aisling wasn't getting paid, I was like, no. And I sent her a text message and I told her that I would not let Aisling work for somebody that was going to use her. And she sent me back a message and said that she wasn't using Aisling, that she thought very highly of Aisling. And she gave me a big spiel about everything.
Yeah,
and then
when
I tried to ring her then, I tried to ring the number then, the number wasn't registered.
And
so when she cut off.
And how did she disappear by the fact that, by sent to the fact that Aisling said and you said good luck, or she said good luck?
No, she didn't say anything. She just disappeared, and then we found out that she was wanted by the guards for fraud.
And was she ever in your house, Nicola?
No, never near the house. No, she kept herself very not hidden, but we never really got to see her. Aisling was the only one that got to see her.
Wow.
And I kind of thought that was a bit weird as well. Like, it's your 16-year-old daughter, you know, she's working for someone, you want to meet them. But we never got to meet her.
And does Aisling, well, Aisling, we've got in her 20s now.
She is.
Does she know there's a new hullabaloo now and we put up a photograph
of
her?
I was actually driving home from work and I heard it on the radio and I actually said, that couldn't be the same Lucy, there's no way.
Yeah.
And I came in and they put it on the radio, and when she heard there was a picture online and then she heard her voice, she said, yeah, she said, that's her. Even the picture, she recognised the picture as
Did
well.
Did she? Yeah, even though the picture we put up, I reckon, is about...
Yeah.
It's at Joe Liveline on X. Now, this Nicola, listen, you can, and Hilary and Lynn, listen to her voice again. This is another pack of lies from her. Wait for this. Again, she is just, she's invalidating the genuine stories of so many people. A lot of them we've heard genuinely, and I know we're giving out hostages to fortune here, but people have, so many decent people have told their story about being born in a mother and baby home. And of course, Samantha, that is her story as well.
I was born in Bessborough in Cork. So I was born obviously in Ireland and then I was adopted, but I grew up in the UK. My mum was one of the first to be allowed to adopt as a single parent. I was adopted because my mum thought there was too many people on the planet.
Okay.
So my adoption was some sort of... my mum was a bit of a rebel back in the day and very much a feminist. I love her to pieces. You know, I went to Steiner School, so my grandparents were horrified at that. I think my grandparents were convinced I would never learn to read or write.
But you couldn't make it up, but she did.
Ashton's just told me that she told her that her husband and her baby died in a car crash, and she was actually renting a room from an old woman in Glenageary at the time.
Yeah, stay there, Nicola. Colette O'Leary, Colette.
Hi there, how are you?
Do you reckon you know Carrie Jade, Lucy?
I knew her as Lucy Fitzwilliam. I had my own wedding planning company at the time. And in fact, everything that lady has just said, I will reiterate. When I had met her, she approached me and she wanted to get married in Ireland. And her fiancé, Ross, was working abroad in Syria, taking children and their passports out safely through Syria.
Yeah.
And she wanted to organise a wedding for 300 people.
Okay.
And I had her in my own car. I was just literally in my own kitchen and I heard her voice and my knees nearly went from underneath me. I had her in my car about 5 or 6 times. She was living in Glenageary at the time. She said she was looking after an elderly woman. She told us that her husband and her baby girl, who was 2.5 or 3, was killed in a car crash by a drunk driver.
Yeah.
She even went as far as when we organised a florist meeting, she told the florist and I that could she fill the whole place with sunflowers because they were her daughter's favourite flower.
Okay.
And the florist and I were in floods of tears. And there was no financial gain. I mean, when we were looking for deposits, there was always like, oh, you know, my stepfather is flying on his private jet from, you know, here to there. So I let it go on for a couple of weeks and she decided she wanted to get married in a hotel in Dublin too, a very well-known hotel.
Yeah.
But when there was any money to be passed over, there was all these excuses. And then there was, you know, a delay with payments coming from the States for me. And so eventually I just said, look, you know, and the stories were getting more and more bizarre. But like that woman said, there was no financial gain. This was about sucking people in and deceiving them just because she could. And I would have always thought that I was quite good and quite astute at sussing people out. But by goodness, was she so believable. But that's her voice. And I've just looked online at her photograph and that's her. But there was no financial gain. But you see that other lady, she had her daughter running around cake tasting.
Yeah,
it was all, and when the police eventually contacted me, they had found 12 telephones with different numbers on them, different personas. And the only reason they got my number was it said on the back of the phone with a post-it note, Colette the wedding planner, wedding to Ross, 300 people. She'd all these little notes written down to remind herself of all the stories when she contacted those particular people.
So she's Lucy, Rebecca, Samantha, Claudia, Carrie, Ellen, Jade, Sadie. She employed you, she contacted you, Colette, as a wedding planner?
As a wedding planner, she was getting married in Ireland and that there were going to be all these private jets flying in and there was going to be 350 people at the wedding. But, you know, the sob story about Ross, or this boyfriend, and he was supposed to have been some weird religion. And there was some religion going to build some place in Glenageary worth 2 million. When I think back, I think, oh my gosh, how did I believe all that? But she was such a believable person and a very personable person.
Yeah, as we hear.
You know, and I took her to all the hotels. She went through, you know, who'd be at the top table. And, oh, unfortunately, my mom is dead. But she did tell me that story that you have just played now. That her, you know, that she was adopted and all those things. She had told all of those to me. So you're kind of sucked in from the very beginning and you feel sorry for her. And she was just an incredible actress. Probably, the best actress I've ever seen in my whole life. But there was no financial gain at all whatsoever.
Okay. Well, there is money missing in other areas. Yeah, but still, I think that's
I never gave her my bank details
fair play,
or anything. And the same with any of the suppliers that we dealt with. There was just, after a few occasions, it was just everything wasn't adding up.
Okay.
And then, I stopped answering her calls and then the next thing I got a phone call from the police in Derry.
Just as you've told us, Colette, when you heard her voice a few minutes ago on Liveline, you nearly died, and Nicola was the same when
my knees literally went, and I went, hush.
Okay, well,
I'd forgotten about that nightmare girl.
Here she is telling the story that she told Colette about being born in Bessborough and the role of her mother. By the way, her mother, I'm told, does feature in a later edition of the podcast, and she said she has warned people that her daughter is a liar.
I was born in Bessborough in Cork. So I was born, obviously, in Ireland, and then I was adopted, but I grew up in the UK. My mum was one of the first to be allowed to adopt as a single parent. I was adopted because my mum thought there was too many people on the planet. Okay. So my adoption was some sort of... my mum was a bit of a rebel back in the day and very much a feminist. I love her to pieces. You know, I went to Steiner school, so my grandparents were horrified at that. I think my grandparents were convinced I would never learn to read or write.
Steiner school, which are brilliant schools. You went to Frankensteiner school. You went to Jekyll and Hyde school. Lynn MacDonald, Hilary Geelan, Colette O'Leary, more people. Stay with us, more people who've now realised they know this woman after the break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie. We're talking about, well, numerous names: Carrie Jane, Williams, Lucy Williams, Samantha, Claudia. The same woman photographed there, 30, in her mid-30s, originally from England. You heard her voice. You'll hear her voice again, because the voice is alerting a lot of people, especially to the realisation that they had dealings with her. Aisling, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
When did you have dealings with... What did you call herself?
Lucy.
Yeah.
So I applied for the job. It was actually on Gumtree. It was just for like handing out leaflets. And I met her in Stillorgan for coffee, and like there was just a chat and a coffee, and then she was like, yeah, like you can just come to my house or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we went down to that house in Glenageary where she was renting a room, I think.
Yeah.
And she was basically telling me that like her husband and her child died in a car crash together.
Yeah.
Like that she was getting married to someone else now, and she was going to start like a therapy clinic.
Okay.
For people with like depression and all that kind of stuff. So she printed loads and loads of leaflets, like, and she gave myself and I recruited a friend. She gave us leaflets, and we would just walk around and nearly putting the leaflets through people's post boxes.
Okay.
And she would leave, like, sometimes you wouldn't see her. She would leave like an envelope of money and then like a list of stuff to do in the garden, and then we would just take it and go do it for the day.
And what were your impressions of her, Aisling?
I thought she was kind of strange, to be honest, but like when you're 16, money is money, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like we were just handing out leaflets, so it was kind of grand, but then kind of as the weeks went on, she got very like, I don't know, she was going to open up this huge like therapy center in Booterstown, and she was going to have like Zumba classes, and she was going to have, you know, we were going to all be working in the center with her, and it was just kind of strange.
And did she talk about getting married, Aisling?
Yeah, so she was getting married, and like some days she would like get us in a taxi, and like, I remember going down to taste like donuts with her in Blackrock before for her wedding, like.
So you go down, she'd say, I might be buying my wedding cake here, and you get free samples, and she'd bring you with her.
Yeah, and sometimes she would just buy the stuff, though, and, like,
yeah.
We would just sit there, like, there was nothing free sometimes. Like, sometimes we would actually just sit there, and she would buy us both, like, a donut, and we would talk about it as if she was going to have them at her wedding.
And you mentioned there's a couple of you who were working together for her. Did any of the other, your colleagues, so to speak, if there's one or more, did any of them rumble her? Did any of them say, this is odd?
Well, it was just like, it was myself and my friend. So we were obviously about 16. We were just kind of there for the money. But there was this woman that worked with her as well. Seems to be like her right-hand woman.
Mm.
I don't know what really happened there, but like in the end, like she showed up at my house to give me money because of everything that was going on. But like she was sent by Lucy.
Yeah. And when is... Where did you... Well, insofar as she then disappeared out of your life, but she's been active up to relatively recently in Kenmare, for example, in 2022. Now, she seems to have gone to ground, but she could be using one of her aliases. She was with one family for nearly 2 years before they rumbled her. Mm. Looking back on, and you're adamant, actually, when you saw the photograph there a few minutes ago we put up, that it is definitely her.
Oh, 100%. Because, like, even like that, she had no problem paying us cash for ages and ages. And then one day we all got an email about the staff meeting in her house. Like, so we went there, me and my friend, and she was basically like, I need bank accounts. And I was like, oh, sure. I don't even have a passport. Like, I'm 16. I can't get a bank account. And she was like, well, you'll have to give me my parents or else, like, you can't have a job. But, like, the whole time it was grand that we were getting paid in cash. And then one day it just kind of switched, like.
And then she was rumbled when she started looking for your parents' bank account.
Yeah, and they wouldn't give it. And then she was like, well, then you can't have a job. And then obviously my parents got on to her and she just kind of, I think she was sending me a few emails back and forth and stuff. And she wrote me a letter as well to say that she was sorry, that this is how it had to end. And then we never actually heard from her again, apart from obviously with the guards.
And then the guards came, and then as Colette said, they found... How many mobile phones do you think they found, Colette, with her different aliases on it?
At the time, 12, somewhere between 12 to 15.
Okay.
And then all the information was put on the back of it as to what the actual scam was. In my case, it was, you know, wedding planner, wedding to Ross. But that's all the police divulged to me. They didn't say... Mm. They just said that we had a, you know, that I'd had a lucky escape.
This is Mark Toy of the Sunday Independent just sent in this this leaflet that she sent to, a dud leaflet. Some people might recognise some of the answers. Hello, my name is Sadie and your parents have said you might be looking for a new nanny. I enjoy baking. I know having someone new can be a big change. So here is some information about me. What is my favourite colour? I like bright colours, blue. Is my favourite colour. What is my favourite animal? I love panda bears. With the children I work with, I like to do lots of arts and crafts, STEM projects. I'm very good at making robots. I like to read and play games. I like finding out what things you like to do and helping you with your homework. Something funny about me, I wish I could have a pet dinosaur. I really like messy projects, but always tidy up. I enjoy pottery, making puppets and science projects. I hope you have a lovely day. And she's saying there, can I become your child's nanny? Oh, God. And Colette, that story you told about when you went into one of the shops and the florist and the sunflowers.
Yes, and she said that her daughter was 3 years of age and had been killed in a hit and run by a drunk driver, and that her daughter's favourite flower was sunflower, and she wanted her wedding to be filled with buckets and buckets of sunflower. And myself and the gorgeous florist, Sylvia, we were both in tears at the thoughts because we were both mums. And we were in tears at the thoughts that, you know, you would lose your child in such a horrific way. So she was really, she's, you know, top of her game as a con artist. Yeah. She really is. And it's hard to believe that she's still operating in this country and still hurting people.
The talented Miss Ripley, the talented Miss Williams doesn't come into it. Back after this break, Joe at rt.ie, 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Okay, our first UK caller, Chrissy Edwards, is in Coventry. You've been listening, obviously. You reckon you've come across Carrie Jade Williams, as she's known.
Yeah.
How, Chrissy?
Yeah, I came across her online.
Okay.
So I use TikTok quite a bit.
Okay.
And on my account, it came up with a lady who was claiming to be being sued by a French couple who had stayed in her Airbnb.
So oh, yeah, I remember that one, yeah. She used that before,
so she claimed that she had her Airbnb and she claimed that this couple were suing her because of her like disabled things that were helping her around her house. So her account got quite a lot of traction because of this. So I would go on every day. I was so invested in this story of this woman being sued. So I'd go on every day and just check for updates from Airbnb and things like that. But then she started saying that she could 3D print sensory items.
Yeah, Braille and that, yeah.
So, yeah, but so it wasn't just the Braille machines. She was saying that she could 3D print things like bubble machines and fibre optics.
Okay.
She was telling me she could design this complete sensory room, and she was, again, telling everyone this on TikTok, because at the time she was saying that she had Huntington's. So she was saying, my life is about to end. And she was saying, I want to do big grand gestures for people before I die. So what she was saying is you would put in how much you want to put towards the sensory room, and then she would double it, because obviously she was going to die. She was rich.
Okay.
And she wanted you to have something nice. And it was like a dying person's goodwill kind of thing. So I put in £250 because I have a disabled son. My child has autism, PDA, ADHD. There's a long list. And I thought, you know what? Having a sensory room would really change our lives. It would have a huge positive impact on our lives. So I put in €250.
Yeah.
And then we had a Zoom call. So it's like the video call. We had a video call. And we completely designed this sensory room. We talked about like the space. We talked about all my son's special needs and what things would help him. And then she went, do you know what? I feel really sorry for you and your life story. So I'm actually going to put in an extra €500 of my own money. So then it was this promise of like this extra money. So I'd already put obviously my 250 in. And she was then like, oh, well, I'm going to make you like the best 3D printed sensory room. And she was rambling on telling me how she could make a bubble tube. So bubble tubes, they retail at about £50-60 for a small one, and then obviously the bigger you get, the more expensive. And she was telling me she could print like a four floor to ceiling one for €8.
And how much
she said, I have the designs.
How much did she get off you, Chrissy?
So the 250 she had. Luckily, I did get that back via the bank because I
had proof
it was scam. I'd been to Action Fraud.
Well done. Okay. For people, thanks, Chrissy. For people, Chrissy Edwards in Coventry, people trying to contact us from the UK, it's joe@rt.ie is probably the best way. Chris O'Connor on sound, broadcast coordinator Liam Dunn, producer Nick Keegan, Catherine Thomas is next. Before I normally say goodbye, but I want to say hello because I want her to contact us to this woman.
I was born in Besborough, in
Lucy.
Cork.
Rebecca.
So I was born obviously in Ireland,
Samantha.
And then I was adopted, but I grew up in the UK.
Claudia.
My mum was one of the first to be allowed to adopt as a single
Carrie.
Parent. I was adopted because
Ellen.
My mum thought there was too many people on the planet.
Jade.
So my eve of my adoption was some
Sadie.
Sort of... my mum was a bit of a rebel back
Please.
In the day.
Lucy, Rebecca,
very much a feminist.
Samantha, Claudia, Carrie, Ellen,
pieces.
Jade, Sadie, wherever
you, know,
you are, talk
school,
to Joe.
So
back tomorrow at
1:45. Horrified at that.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Step into summer with our new curtain designs and colours. Explore our latest designs in-store or online.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.